just were not godly. And we've been through an awful lot in terms of cleaning up, just like the Bible in the Old Testament talked about cleaning out the Asherah poles and the high places, the detestable idols. Many, many of you have supported us physically with your physical presence, prayers, involvement, and support. What great Christian family to have in terms of what you all have done for us. So Paul and I both thank you very much for that. And it's been wonderful to see God work and redeem and save much of what was lost and take what was used for ill purposes and turn it into things that advance His kingdom and bring Him glory. So thank you for that. I want to recognize my wife, Paula, my father, David, my mother, Mary Margaret, and my aunt, Susan. And if y'all would just stand up, because at lunch today, I want folks to be able to know who to come see. Like many of you, Jim and Ann, that's been a huge part of my support group with great friends and great family. So I thank you all for everything that you've done. Answered prayer. I'd like you to look. If you want to see an answered prayer, I'd like you to see me standing right here in front of you. I've had cholangiocarcinoma cancer since June of 2017. Crawford, you and I have been going through some of the same things with some of the cancer and trips to UAB. It's not pleasant, it's not comfortable, and it's downright miserable at times. But at my stage in the game, to be standing in front of you, to be able to talk and speak and say, glory to God, and here's Scripture, what a blessing. But it's your prayer. So what I want to say is, look, right here, visibly in front of you, here's a response. Because God has been great, Robert, in responding and giving Buck health to be able to stand here instead of being laid up in a hospital bed with IV tubes coming out and me having a hard time even breathing. So I'm grateful for your prayers, and God is a God. He inclines His ear to listen to the prayers of His people, and guess what? He answers. God is a God who answers. I want to share with you. Good now, Zach. I want to share with you about my cancer, and later open it up for your questions. I plan to be very open and very transparent with you about how I'm facing death and the circumstances that sort of surround it. And I want you to please consider anything that you might like to ask. And later on, I want to open it up where you can ask questions and I can just respond transparently. Let's open in Scripture. I'd like to go to John, the Gospel of John, the last verse in chapter 16, verse 33, and we'll go through 17, verse 4. It's about five verses. I'm going to talk to you today about peace, and I'm going to talk to you today about joy, and I want to talk to you today about purpose. So, Fred, I want to set the stage, but I want to use what Jesus was talking about and then tie it into some things about how we, you and I, can live our lives in Jesus Christ. So let's open with this Scripture, and if you would, look for the ties that go in throughout kind of our discussion time today. Peace, joy, purpose. But don't so much think about me. Think about you. Where do you fit into this story? Peace, joy, purpose. Is that something that you want and are interested in, would like to have? Do you know how to have that? That's what we're going to let, hopefully, God's Word speak to us about today. We'll talk along those lines about the meaning of life and the meaning in life. That's a big question. What's the meaning of life? Well, we're going to talk about that today. So peace, joy, and purpose. So John 16:33, and take this in. This is what Jesus is saying. And He's speaking to believers. And He says, I have told you these things. I'm reading from the NIV. I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Pause right there. Show of hands. Was Jesus right? In this world, you will have trouble? All right. Anybody that didn't put your hands up, I'm going to show you some passages about telling lies. Life does have trouble. Absolutely. Jesus says this, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I, Cody, Jesus speaking, have overcome the world. That stone couldn't hold him that resurrection morning. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Verse 4 again. I have brought you glory, Jesus speaking, talking to the Father. Where? On earth, right here, where you and I stand and reside every day. By doing what? Completing the work you, God, gave me to do. Before I tell you about my cancer, I need to tell you about my Jesus. Why? Well, if you don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior, you just will not be able to understand the joy of God and the peace of God, much less possess it, have it, own it. Without Jesus, we cannot live with peace in our hearts and peace in our minds. Without Jesus, we cannot have peace with God either. Now, I'm going to take your questions here in a few minutes, but let me ask you some questions. What is the meaning of life? Why are you here? Why am I here? If someone asked you this question, what about life is meaningful and significant, what would you say? How would you respond to that? Some of you probably know. Others of us have thought about it and not really perhaps drawn a conclusion yet. But it's a pretty significant question. Why are you here? What are you doing? What's your purpose? What's significant? Is there meaning in what you do? Or are you just breathing God's air and eating His food every day? He wants us to have purpose and peace and joy. Well, I know the answer, and based on what I see in the Bible, I want to share that with you this morning. Medically speaking, I don't have a whole lot of time left on the earth. So today I'd like to tell you what the Bible has to say about the why I'm here and the why you are here. And it's two simple words. You can remember these. You don't have to write them down. Here's the answer, the meaning of life. Why are we here? Glorify God. We are here to glorify God. Our purpose and intent from the design, going back to Genesis, we are created to glorify God. And if we can grab that and get it and understand it, so much else starts to fall in place. Even when cancer comes on us, or the unexpected death of a loved one, or a very difficult circumstance. When we understand our purpose is to glorify God, at that point in time, so much more of Scripture makes sense. And this beautiful tapestry that God sews from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it all ties together. And life makes sense. Every bit of the true meaning of life is wrapped up in these two words, glorifying God. It's our design purpose to bring God glory in how we live, in who we are, in all that we are, in what we do, and then every day in life's decisions and life's choices. Our intended design and purpose is to glorify God. Now, I suspect this morning there's three groups of people here, and I'm going to be very transparent as I speak to you all this morning. I'm going to be very transparent and candid and open. I think there's three groups of people here. The first, and consider which category might you fit in. The first, those who already know Jesus Christ as Lord. You've committed your lives and you understand expressly, my goal, purpose, reason for here is to glorify God. You get it. You live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And you recognize there's not much we can do on our own, absent God. That's the group I would call sold out, group number one. Group number two I would refer to as in, but often ineffective. Who's that? Those who truly know Jesus, but have not yet made that absolute commitment to wholeheartedly following Jesus, serving Him, being about God's glory in every aspect of their lives. The second group has perhaps not yet experienced the abundant life that Jesus speaks of in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus speaking, have come that you might have life abundantly. They also maybe have not experienced abiding in the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. And then when circumstances get tough, you try to rely on yourself. You try to fix things yourself. You try to rescue yourself. And it often fails because you're trying to do things in your own strength and power. The third group, what I would call outside, but need to be in. Those who have not yet surrendered to the divine authority of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For those in this third category, let me tell you right now the truth of your predicament and offer you the eternal, confident hope of salvation found in Jesus Christ. Here's how to have Jesus in your life so that you will be able to understand and see that you can have lasting peace and abiding joy. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, we see the wages something that I've earned and you earned as sinners. The wages of sin is death. But there's a gift of God in Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We've earned death. We've earned separation from God because of our sin. God requires perfection, and thus a perfect sacrifice is required to pay the price for our sin. It's a price none of us can afford to pay, nor would we ever be able to pay. So God, the loving Father, sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth with the purpose of being the perfect sacrifice who would take my place, your place, in death. Jesus obediently went to a cross and died for you and died for me. God victoriously raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days in the grave. Hunter, we just sung about that. Thank you. Defeating Satan, defeating death, defeating hell, defeating the grave. This is called the resurrection. Jesus was without sin, which made Him the perfect and acceptable sacrifice. We read a few minutes ago in John 17 that Jesus was sent by God to be that perfect sacrifice, allowing us to not only be spared from eternal death in a terrible place of torment called hell, but make a way for us to have an incredible eternal life in heaven, as well as an abundant life with peace and joy and purpose here on earth, right here, right now, today. He overcame the world, and He wants us to have joy-filled life with peace of mind and peace of heart. Now, this might be my last time to speak to you because of the cancer. So it's important to me that I clearly tell you that you can have the peace of God. But because of sin, first you must make peace with God. How do you make peace with God, you might ask? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We simply cannot have the peace of God without making peace with God. Jesus is absolutely the only way. And you can put an exclamation point there. That is an absolute. If you've not made that commitment but want to, I'd like to ask you right now, quietly, I'll pray and you join me. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner, and because of sin, I do not have peace with God. I am sorry for my sin. I repent, and now I want to do things your way. I accept you, Jesus, as Lord, as Master. I recognize that you have paid my sin debt, and I am totally dependent on you alone for my salvation. I accept you as Savior, and I look forward to the joy and peace that you offer. I commit my life to you today, and am thankful that you, Lord, did everything to make salvation possible for me. Begin to grow me in you, starting this very minute, as you seal me by your Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, amen. At this point, I pray every one of you know Jesus so I can see you again, perhaps shortly. I'll probably beat you there, but I'll look forward to seeing you come and join me. Now about the cancer. June 2017. Mr. Phillips, you have cholangiocarcinoma cancer. Diagnosed a bit in terms of the late stage. And in the later stage, you generally get about 3 to 18 months worth of time. My midpoint was April 15th. That's 2 weeks ago today. And I'm still standing in front of you. Praise God. Amen. And thank you for your prayers. Because I'm able to not only stand in front of you, I can stand and speak and even have enough voice that we can read the scriptures that Jesus prayed and give Him glory. It's a rare cancer, according to the National Cancer Institute. The thing about this one, there's a lot of cancers that the medical community knows a whole lot about. They know, because it's so common, they've done a lot of research and they can see basically how to cure them. In my case, because it's rare, there's very little research. So basically, the doctors, they've done everything that they can. They can't do anything more for me. If God chooses to heal me, that's the only way I get healed. And if He chooses to change my address and I go vertical, then I get healed in a totally different and perfect way that I very much look forward to. That's a hallelujah moment. If you come to my funeral, let it be a praise. Let it be a time of thanksgiving. Let it be a time of glorifying God and saying, thank you, Lord, that there's an eternity and a hope in Jesus Christ. And this man loves you and is with you. The cancer grows more like a moss or a vine, as opposed to a tumor that might be, let's say, in the shape of a golf ball where the surgeons can go in and with a scalpel, take it out, see ya. It grows around the duct work called the bile ducts. It's near the liver. And so it's not like something that you can just go in and surgically remove. That's a part of the diagnosis and the shorter time frame that I have. And perhaps the most frequent question that I get is, how did you handle the news? What did you do? Life throws curveballs to us. We get unexpected things. You've had it in your life too. It comes to me, and I hear, Mr. Phillips, you have cancer. You have cancer. You have cancer. That'll sort of change your day a little bit, don't you think? It didn't change mine. It did not change my day. I didn't have fear. I wasn't shaken. I was not moved. Why? Because of years of following the Lord and watching His faithfulness and His love and how trustworthy He is. And what I've learned in walking with the Lord all these years is He's got a plan and He has a purpose in all of these things. And so I could have a peace about it. Now, there's always that split second time where when we hear news that's bad news, we have to catch ourselves. If we let our minds take off without being governed by the Holy Spirit, our minds can go all kind of places. But if we stop and say, let me change my perspective, this didn't catch God by surprise. Not at all. And God wasn't surprised in the beginning of the book of Job when Satan comes up to him and says, your man Job, I'd like to do some harm and wreak some havoc. You know what? God set boundaries and limits for what Satan could do. But for God's good purpose and His glory, we can benefit from what happened with Job. But there's purpose and meaning. Could Job see it at the time? No way! Could I see it that day you got cancer? Lord, I'm not sure. Whatever your purpose is, I want to see what your purpose is in this. What do I need to do to bring you glory? And God, thank you for this assignment. I've had lots of assignments. You've had lots of assignments, whether it's in work or in life. The cancer is an assignment. The things that can come to us and happen that we see is bad a lot of times. How great that God trusts us enough to handle this, to be a witness, to be a testimony. For people on the outside that are lost and dying, don't have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, are headed for hell. They can see somebody who loves the Lord, follows the Lord, has been trusting in the Lord. The Lord has been faithful to them. And He's consistent in that. The Bible says that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That love is the same. His faithfulness is the same. His trustworthiness is absolutely the same. So there's the split second. You've got cancer. Uh-oh. And then the next response is, God, with Job, didn't catch you by surprise. This didn't catch you by surprise. This is not new news to you. It's not unexpected. And I remember Joseph. When his brothers throw him in the well, and then he's getting sold into slavery. And they're going to carry him off to Egypt. That catch God by surprise? No. You think Joseph knew what was going on at the time when he's down in the pit? His brothers have thrown him down there? I don't think so. But did God have a plan? You bet. Now, how about for Joseph? Do you think it would be easy on Joseph if he'd looked at it from the perspective of, okay, God, what's your purpose in this? I'm going to tell you, that's life-changing, that perspective. What's your purpose? Not why me, God. Oh, why me? Oh, gloom, despair, old hee-haw. No. God, what's your purpose in this? What do you want to see out of it? How do we use this to bring you glory, to honor you, to advance your kingdom? I want to read you the day I was told I've got cancer. It's in a later stage. It's pretty much probably going to be a terminal cancer. This is what I wrote. God remains sovereign and in control. Jesus remains on the throne with all authority. And I humbly, prayerfully desire to remain committed to God's glory and God's perfect will. And so I can tell you, my life was already, Lord, what do I need to do to glorify you? But on that day, I'm about two things now. I've got a limited time left, and I'm about two things. What are they? Glorify God, advance His kingdom. Glorify God, advance His kingdom. And what about you? What's your life about? Do you know the purpose? Do you know the meaning? Do you know the significance? I can tell you, glorifying God should be at the top of the list, biblically speaking, if you want to know God's answer about it, because He's the Creator. He made us this way. It's His design. So that's one big part of the answer. And I want to talk about one other thing, and then I want to take your questions. Peace, this peace of God. First, we have to have peace with God. That's salvation, because we basically, we're effectively enemies of God when we're in our sinful state. We accept Jesus, we're forgiven, and all of a sudden, we have salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Our lives are new and different. We're new people, we're new creations. And we also are sealed with the Holy Spirit to have eternal life in heaven. What a great place that will be. A lot like the Garden of Eden from what I've seen so far. What a great place. But peace and joy. Let me tell you, most of us in here, anxiety, worry, fear. I'm concerned about this. Now, a lot of times concerned is a nice way of saying I'm scared and worried. John 16:33, we read it already. I have come, Jesus speaking, that you might have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble. Everybody in here knows that. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord, He has overcome the world. So when we look back at this world has trouble, He's overcome the world, He wants us to have peace. What kind of standing do you think we have? How do you think the Heavenly Father wants us to behave? To operate in fear and uncertainty and anxiety? No. Come that you might have peace, Jesus says. How do you get it and how do you keep it? I'm going to give you a short answer. You can study it out. It's in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is absolutely wonderful. If you haven't memorized this verse, and you have difficulty with feeling overwhelmed and anxiety at times, memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and I'm going to give you something that I've found is an absolute key to this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, and we'll get to the key. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard. The Greek word for there is garrison. And here's the deal with that. Garrison's the guy who's on the lookout. And when something goes wrong, he lets you know something's wrong. There's a problem. All right? Guess what? When we get that anxiety, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, another version says. Anxiety shows up. That's the garrison. That's the guard saying, hey, there's a problem. You're getting anxious about something. So what do? You go back to verse 6. And what does it say? It says, pray in these four ways. Notice, thanksgiving is in there. Thanksgiving is in the middle of that. With anxiety, thanksgiving? Yes, that's the way God works. He's that big. We can give Him thanks while we're already praying through something that's heavy on our heart and mind. That's the way He is. He is a gracious, loving Heavenly Father who has made available this peace of God that does surpass all human understanding. So when that light comes on, the warning signal, the buzzer, the alarm, the garrison, the guard, anxiety, head right back to Philippians 4, 6. Prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. It's a great study, too, by the way, to look at what each of those four types of prayer actually are and how that works. I want to stop at this point. I want to ask you, what would you like to know? Yes, ma'am. How has cancer in my life affected my daily walk, is the question. It has some, and it hasn't others. In 1991, when I made a commitment, when I was going through what's the meaning of life and the purpose of life, and I decided, if I'm going to follow God, I'm going to follow Him. And I'm just going to give Him everything, and I'm going all out. I started having to get up. 4:30, whatever time it took in the morning to give Him the first fruit of that day, to spend time with Him in Bible reading and prayer and really draw close. I got to know the names of God at that time. Man, you talk about learning about who God is. Learn His name sometimes. It says so much about Him. And so a lot of that, it's practices or discipline even that I had established for lots and lots of years. And it was a great time to pray for people and situations and circumstances. And frankly, it prepared me for things that I wasn't prepared for during my career for that day ahead of me. And so, just give it to God in the morning. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things, what we wear and the food we eat, the things that we need, God takes care of that. But it starts with seek first the kingdom of God. That's still true today, thankfully. I still can't do anything on my own. I still have terrible deficiencies and that type of thing, and I still have to trust Him every morning. What it has changed, you know what? The newspaper's not that important to me anymore. Looking at the Birmingham Business Journal to see what's happening. Things like that, they've lost. I used to be interested in that. I'm not. Now, I'd rather talk to y'all. Let me tell you about my Jesus, you know. Next question, please. Lenny?
Y'all know you bought your faith that you had, but you... Can you just... I know that you have a wife that is right there with you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
No. I'm teasing. I mean, my wife, can I talk a little bit about Paula? She is so sweet, Lenny. She, months and months back, she came up to me and she said, this should be me that has this cancer, not you. And I said, Paula, honey, I said, no. I said, listen. God has allowed me to have this assignment of a man, a Christian man, with a terminal diagnosis and cancer. Your role, your assignment, your purpose in this is to be the wife, the Christian wife of a Christian man who has cancer. And so we both have godly assignments in this. Now, emotionally, roller coaster. It's very difficult. Paula can't compartmentalize very much like I can. For the men in here, I can't speak to the women because I don't understand you. But for the men, this cancer, what do I need as a man? Purpose, meaning, significance, value, impact. I want my life to do something. Most of us, over the years, we kind of find our identity. What do you do? Meaning, what's your job? But that's not really significant. That's not really impactful. But down deep, me and most men that I talk to that will be honest with me, they want significance. They want impact. They want meaning. Here's the really cool thing with the cancer. Lenny, I've got amazing purpose in this assignment from God. To be a Christian man, and to have this cancer, and to have a wife who's at my side, and a family who's at my side, supporting me in it and through it. And guess what? All of us can see God's hand at work. His glory. Him being glorified in it, just like Jesus talked about. That John 17:4, I don't know if you all have seen the tie-in to this, but that John 17:4, Jesus speaking to God says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Don't you think that we should be like Jesus in that same way? God has given each one of us, men and women, purpose, assignments. If we don't know what they are, let's find out what they are. So it's been tough. That's the toughest part of this from the family side. I'm ready to die. I'm okay with dying. I do not look forward to the suffering. I don't at all look forward to that part of it, you know, physically. But as far as dying, going to heaven, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's rock and roll, baby. You know, I want to be, let it light me like a fuse. I don't want to be like a slug or a snail. Let's go. Let's burn out while we're here for Jesus and make impact. Maybe that fuse will be connected to some dynamite. Let's go. One more question. Hey, Jay. Hey.
Anthony Johnson. You spoke upon learning about the council, and before June, you was so energetic and uplifting. Is there anything that you have any regret in not finishing before this life end for you after learning about the council?
I'll give you the practical side, AJ. I am so blessed to have had time to get more of my affairs in order. My intent with the time that the Lord's given me, in addition to whatever God has, as a practical matter, is I don't want to leave my wife Paula or my brother Frank or my family a mess to have to clean up. That's very important. So as a practical matter, and this is something for all of us, get your estate in order. Get your affairs in order. Because we never know. We don't know the day or the time. Our life might be required of us tomorrow. Great question. I'd like to close in praying for you, and then I think Steve's going to come up for the offering. So let's pray. God, you are so good. You are so loving. Lord, I'm just excited that even though I don't, as the doctors say, have much time left on this earth, I'm just so excited, Lord, that you still use me, that I can have purpose. God, that I can be about glorifying you and advancing your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for that. What a blessing. And Father, through your Spirit this morning, I would just ask you, Lord, to impart that same godly desire for honoring you and bringing you glory in this, everyone in this building and everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord. God, we are about your glory. We're about advancing your kingdom. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks for using us. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you've designed us. And God, the way that we can be fulfilled in lining up with the purpose of your design. Be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.